Today's Old Testament is from Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is one of the four major prophets. And Ezekiel was, in a way, a very stressed and oppressed prophet. Well, his prophecy was all about hope and bringing back of this God's great city, Jerusalem, back into glory, and the people of Israel. But the place he was doing all the prophecy, he was in Babylon. He was in captive. So his country was already destroyed, his temple already fully destroyed. So he was in this foreign country as a captive. And he's receiving these visions. And now, it's not hard to imagine that what he really wants. Yes, reconstruction of his country, the temple. And he knows and sees that that can only be done by God and God's power. And this is one of the visions that kind of comes as saying, "Thus says the Lord God." Kind of promise that God will do this for them. And interestingly, somehow, the description is that I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. And a cedar is not actually in the land of their land, let's put it that way. It's kind of nearby, but it's in a different place. Lebanon is the famous place for the cedar. And cedar is the tree that in the biblical time people considered as probably the most lofty but also useful tree. That's why David made sure enough supply so that Solomon can build the temple. The cedar from Lebanon. So somehow God is comparing whole process, even whole nation, as a tree that God will plant with a small little start. This image of God somehow initiating something with a small little thing is actually very clear from the beginning. In Genesis, God makes a human in the second chapter with clay. But to make it a living soul, God has breathed the breath of God into this being. And then human becomes living soul, living being. And throughout the whole Old Testament, there's so many things about comparing human as the tree, a tree. And then there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. What is it about tree? And if you read Psalm, yes, definitely, so many times. Interesting thing about tree is that when you're planted, can you move? You can't. That's by the mercy of the nature of God, you are planted in a right place. Do you choose where to be planted? If you're a tree. If you're a seed, you can't. Either planter or the power of nature will carry you to a certain place. And it is your blessing that if you are planted on a good soil where there's good water and also good sunlight, but how about if it doesn't? You can't change it either. The growth of the tree also depends on the soil and the water that is from heaven and the sunlight. So much about is that this even plantation and the growth, it all actually what depends on not the choice of the tree, but the power of God. Image is that our spiritual growth happens almost identical way. And message is that can you be humble enough to accept it? Your beginning and the growth and end is all by God. Can you accept that as the truth? This kind of question that we have. If you read any mythology, any legend, even the history lessons, a lot of times the human problem with God always begins with our part of arrogance. That somehow, well, sometimes we feel like we have control. Things go the way I like it to go. Things go the way that I plan it to go. Things should go the way I plan it to go. Things should happen the way I like it to happen. Interestingly, it's been repeated over and over again, and that's exactly the same story in the Bible too. And somehow all religion asks us to be humble. And when I was young, being humble means being kind of humiliated unfairly. So I felt I had to fight for my share. I was 15, 16 probably. Why should I be humble while all those people are not really humble? If I'm the only one being humble, it feels like I'm going lower while they're going up. So didn't look like really good deal to me. I fought. At the end, well, it was even worse than simply accepting it in the beginning. So anyway, being humble is hard. Yes, we know that. But somehow, that's one of the core of all messages. And today, the Lord picks up this seed of mustard. Why mustard? That was my first question. I studied about mustard, and it happens to be this is one of the oldest condiments that human beings use, and very healthy. Mustard seed, 90% of it is protein and oil, edible oil. The people used to eat that oil long time and has a protein high, even in more protein than actually same amount of beef has. Did you know? I did not eat. It also also mustard, you can eat it as a salad when it's green. So you can eat its leaves, you eat its seed. It's simply very useful. And also, mustard is something that if you sow today, planted in a correct place today, it will start growing tomorrow. Almost. It can start growing tomorrow, and within a month or so, it will come out like that. So it has the rapid growth and all the usefulness, from seed to its leaves to everything. So I thought, wow, yes. No wonder why the Lord picks up this mustard and compares it to a kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, according to our guy, Swedenborgius, kingdom of heaven is kingdom of uses. Usefulness. And this little mustard seed, it convinced me that I will eat more mustard. It actually also helps to lower your blood pressure. There are many other good benefits from eating this. The word mustard is from Latin word called mustum ardens, meaning burning wine. Meaning that ancient days, people kind of mixed its powder and made wine with it. And they liked it. Don't ask me why. So that's where it came from. The small little mustard. Really small. Like its seed is like 1 millimeter or 2. Like really small. As you see, it could grow up to 10 feet. You know? And that's somewhat the image of kingdom of God. So the message to us is that when our Lord is talking about kingdom of God, we're not talking about a place. That's for sure. Right? Comparing this mustard seed as the kingdom of God. That's not a place where we go. It's something that happens in us. And more likely message is that if we have something the size of mustard, that's good enough to make the whole kingdom of heaven to come to us. And there's another famous phrase, right? If you have faith, size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move from here to there, it will happen. So in a way of saying that, our Lord is saying one way, kingdom of heaven is such a powerful thing. Even if you have the small little, like really smallest possible that instilled in your mind, it will grow and actually take all aspects of your mind. It'll make your mind heavenly. Why? Because in that seed is the power divine already contained. If any of you read my article this past week, was about everything is made up of something. And in Swedenborg's reality, what makes life essentially is this good and truth from God. And when that becomes material manifestation, this whole physical world happens. That's how he sees it and explains it. That's what heaven is. Heaven is not a place with matters, but heaven is made up of the union of good and the truth that is accepted by us. That's why there can be myriads of heavens. The important part is that if you really see it clearly, God is simply just sending all this light force out to all beings, to all of us. But when it comes into our mind, when we accept them and we acknowledge and we unite them in us, make it real, a heaven happens. A heaven happens in us. We become part of heaven. You become real being. Do you see this beautiful picture? This power divine is just and fair. It sends out to every being equally fairly. But the beings, the creatures, humans who accept this into their heart and minds and cultivate them and actually make it real in them, that is the moment heaven happens in you, a new heaven. You become a new extension of heaven. You are creating a part of heaven that never existed before. That's what you are. That's this mustard seed. Small, little, doesn't matter how small it is. As long as it's real in your heart and mind, it has a power to change everything in you. So often we say that what matters is the intention. Right? So if there is a seed in the mind, does that seed have beauty in it? Does it have kindness in it? If the seed of your mind contains a beauty and kindness, the world you see and perceive is beautiful and kind. But the seed in your heart has anger and hatred in it, the world you see is angry and full of hatred. The good Lord blesses all beings to accept what is good and what is true. It is our part Because we have this capability, right? We can think. Good Lord gave us this brain called frontal brain, with which we can make rational and logical decisions. In a way of saying that we do know when we choose something wrong, we do know that's wrong. Well, then we better not to. So, kingdom of God as a mustard seed. That's yellow mustard seed. As you see, spoon is not this size. So it's probably 4 or 5 times bigger than actual size. Small little thing becomes this thing. And it says the birds in the air come and make nest in the shadow. In this symbolic description, what we can understand is that when we have a good seed sown in us, we accept this spiritual cultivation from God. We accept that living a useful life for others is a good thing indeed. We accept that accepting truth is actually my destiny. And cultivating good through my life is something that's really good for me essentially. That becomes principle in our mind. It will connect to all aspects of our minds. It becomes the ruling love of our mind. It becomes the reality of our mind. That's why for the same thing happens, some people react in one way, some people react the other way. It's not that what happened has any difference. It's that person who is perceiving and analyzing has different way of seeing it. It's not a matter of somebody is better or not. It's not a matter of somebody is more smart or not. It's a matter of seeing things as real as it is. And either accepting or processing things the way we're supposed to. And promise of God from Ezekiel and all those prophets is that if we are humble enough, if we are willing to accept, the good Lord with all divine power will make sure that we get what is necessary. That's what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of Cedar. And before that, it says, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to the Lebanon. He took the top of Cedar. That's the beginning of the 17th. There's a part that we as humans are supposed to do. There's a part that God is promising us to do. And we know how easy is it to control or manage our mind? Very hard, right? Very hard. We do know that. I mean, who wants to have either anger, hatred, or trouble, conflict as the seed of one's mind? We all want to have something beautiful. We all want to see heaven. We all want to see kind and beauty in the world. But something's blocking our eyes. Something's happening in between. And God is telling the key in overcoming is not trying to fight against whatever that's standing in between. In a way, it's like more like coming back to God and praying to God in humbleness. Because a lot of times, what is blocking us is from us. Therefore, fighting against it may make it stronger. Because you're fighting against yourself. But humbling to God may actually weaken it too. Why? Because you are letting go of your power, letting go of your control, letting go of your ego. Therefore, this blockage has no source of energy. Thus, it goes down. God created us to see the beauty, to be beautiful, to be loving, to be kind, to help each other. That's how God created us. And truthfully, when we do those things, it feels good, doesn't it? Right? When we do those things, we cannot deny it makes feel our heart like feels good about it. There's something essentially, fundamentally real about loving others, helping others, being kind to others. And sometimes you overcome your own selfish desire and actually do something good. And how does that feel to you? Fantastic, right? Amazing. Yes. So we all know that essentially that's what feeds us. A small little mustard seed is all you need to hold on to it. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. You don't need to get a huge, you know, big seed, like, I don't know what's the biggest, largest seed. But God is not asking you to have those biggest seed possible. All God is asking is, have something that's real to you. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. God will plant it in a good soil with good water and good sunlight, and it'll become a tree that becomes the kingdom of heaven. That is you. Each time a human being is creating, becoming a heaven, we're extending heaven. We're making heaven bigger, more powerful. That's why we're created. So beautiful in that context. And that's why we human beings love something that's beautiful. You know, there's a study about aesthetics. We love something that things are beautiful. We cannot resist from it. Why? Because essentially, we're created to be beautiful. We're created to love something that's beautiful. We're created to see the world as beautiful as it is. So, hold on to your mustard seed. You have it. It's God's gift to you, actually. If you don't have it, or you think you don't have it, find it. You can't find it, pray that God will illuminate your mind so you can find it. It's given to you. It's God's gift. You find it, acknowledge it, make it as precious as possible, treasure it, and God will plant it. May God bless you all. Amen.